It's I can say on the journey down, you've got the better end of the weather. it's got better as I came down the motorway. It's good to be with you. Tom said, will I share a bit about my travels so far? Well, that's easy to do because there's been none. We should have been out in Israel throughout January and February. But for some strange reason, they cancelled the flights. Interestingly, to start with, they cancelled the outward flight first, but not the return flight. So we thought, oh, what does that mean? But then eventually that got cancelled as well. So we've not been anywhere. Sorry, what am I banging something?
There you are. Let's
have a look. Oh, it's dropped. Oh, it's come off.
I'll get this.
This is what my wife does. Many chances, okay. Anyway, really it's good to be with you. And thanks, Tom, for sharing that reading with us, because that's what I wanted to talk about this morning. But I want to put that story in context, because that's a story I'm sure that many of us know. But it came immediately after an event that you will also know, which I want to read just a few verses that came before that. So this is in Mark's Gospel, it's chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It says, That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now that's the event that immediately preceded what happened with the demoniac on the other side of the lake. It came at a time when Jesus was quite popular in his ministry, and it just seems that this one evening, without any preparation, he says to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side of the lake." Now, I'm sure many of you will know this, but in the time of Jesus, the Lake of Galilee was actually three different kingdoms bordered that lake. So he's in Galilee and he's going to the other side of the lake. The other side of the lake was known as the Decapolis. That was a Gentile country. So he's saying, "Let's go across the lake to the other side, to this Gentile country." Didn't give any reason for it. There was no preparation. So they got in a boat to go. And so nobody's made any plans. Disciples haven't made any plans. They don't know why he's going. They just get in there. But this is a disciple's life. A disciple, the word means a follower, a learner, one who follows in order to learn. So when the rabbi says go, you go. So they jump in the boat and they go. And remember that many of his disciples were fishermen. They know that lake. Many of you here, I'm sure, will have seen that lake. Is that right? You've been underwater? Right, yeah. That lake is a lake that's about 680 feet below sea level. And it does some strange things with the weather there, because sometimes, and particularly in the evening, when the cool air comes from the top and the hot air rises, you can get a storm very quickly on that lake. I have been on that lake in the evening when just it gets so choppy so quickly. And in recent times, they've reported storms there where they've had waves of 10 feet high. That's big on that lake. That's
that's a lot of storm. And the disciples would have known that. They're fishermen. It's dangerous on this lake, especially in the evening. But when Jesus says go, we go. And they went, and you know the story. They're rowing across the lake. And where's Jesus? He's fast asleep when one of these storms, these squalls, these killer storms arising. Now they've got no idea why they're going. And now they're in a storm. If they were to know that they were going to go across that lake to a foreign country in the dark to go to a cemetery to meet a demon-possessed man, would they have been very keen on going? I don't think so. Do you know? But that's it. Jesus didn't tell them why they were going. But you know, he's teaching them things the whole time. And you know, my experience has been, and I'm sure this is the experience with some of you, that Jesus doesn't always tell us what's coming down the road. Often I'm speaking for me here. If I know what's coming, I get in the way. I make plans around it. A bit like Abraham with Hagar.
End up with an Ishmael as opposed to an Isaac, and things get
yeah, some of
you know what I'm talking about.
But they just put their trust in him and they went.
And when all this arises, he's fast asleep. That's a miracle in its own right that you can
sleep in a storm. But he's showing them something. You know, faith, my Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Then it talks about the word of God. It's the
Greek word rhema, the now word, the spoken word, the word into the situation. Jesus has said, let's go to the other side. I want to tell you that if Jesus said we're going to the other side, we're going to the other side, and no storm or anything is going to be able to stop it. Am I right? But they've got to learn that. And they wake him up. And you know the story, he speaks to that storm and just says, be still. And I'm told in the original language, it's like talking to a naughty puppy dog. You know, get down, be still. And the whole thing is quiet. But then they get to the other side. And it's when they get to the other side, we come to that story that we've read today.
Now, both, this is a story
that you'll find in three of the Gospels, and sometimes they talk of two men, but concentrating on one man in particular, this man called Legion, who is the embodiment of evil. He's a man that we find that nobody can contain. He's got no peace. They can't bind him. He's got power. I don't know whether you've ever dealt with some people. I know when I was in the police force for years. You know when they talk about people having the strength of 10 men? Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. I've seen that. I've been there. And it's taken many of us to overcome one man. These things are real. And this man is there. He's living in a cemetery. He's living amongst dead people. He's living away from society. He's got no future. He's got no hope. He's got no direction. He's got no anything in this place. But Jesus went through that storm to get to that one man. One man. Foreign country. In the dark, in a cemetery, tormented by evil spirits. And I don't know what the disciples were thinking when they saw this. I mean, they've just come through a storm. They're on the, as far as they're concerned, it's the wrong side of the lake. And they're with this man. And
realize that, you know, Jesus, this man was important to Jesus.
The Bible says Jesus only ever did what pleased his Father. And he had an appointment there, after dark, with a demon-possessed man. And so, when they landed, we read that this man
and saw Jesus from a distance, and he ran to him, and he says, "You know, what do you want with me?" It's literally saying, "What have you got in common? What have we got in common? What is it that you've come for?" And calls him the Son of the Most High God. And here's an interesting fact, that the demons recognized Jesus for who he was a lot sooner than other people, even his disciples. That man recognized Jesus as being the Son of God. And he ran to Jesus. And it would appear that almost immediately Jesus ordered those evil spirits to leave him. Now, when he did that, those demons, those evil spirits, knew they had no option but to go. That was the voice of authority speaking. But they pleaded with Jesus not to torment them, but to allow them to go into a nearby flock. What do you call a flock of pigs? No, not a flock of pigs. Herd of pigs. Herd of pigs. And that's interesting. You see, this is, I think I've said this before, but pigs in the Jewish mindset are unclean animals. You don't find pigs in that way. I mean, you can find pigs to this day in Israel. My wife was chased by a wild one up in the Jordan Valley one day, and there is a kibbutz up in the north of Israel that is a secular kibbutz that raises pigs. There was a big court case over it because the Orthodox Jews said, you can't keep pigs on the land. They defile the land. You've heard, you know, but this is true, this. And so a big court case. So the secular Jews raised them 18 inches off the ground. Everybody's now happy. But generally speaking, no pigs in Israel. But this is in the Decapolis. This is in a Gentile country. And there's this huge flock of, not flock, herd of pigs, 2,000 of them. And you know what happened? That Jesus ordered those evil spirits to go in to those unclean animals. And the outcome was that those animals ran down the bank. If you see pictured now, it's the end of the Golan Heights, we would talk about it now. Ran down that bank into the sea. And they drowned. And so we've got 2,000 pigs. Do you know that's an awful lot of pork? It's a lot of pork. And what happened was those tending those pigs ran off and reported what had happened. And people came to see. Now you can imagine the stir amongst the people. You know, those pigs were probably the livelihood and the business of these people. This was their food supply, and all of a sudden it's gone in a moment of time. And so when they came, the people who own these, when the people came to have a look, they saw two things. On the one hand, they saw a man who had been possessed, who they couldn't tame, who they were frightened of, that kept their distance. They saw that man now in his right mind, now dressed, now seated, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's a miracle. That's an absolute miracle. This was a man they were afraid of. This is a man nobody would go near. This is a man that was just beyond control. But now, seated in his right mind. But they also saw 2,000 dead pigs. And it's, they're going to make a choice. What do they want? You know, that one is their livelihood. One is represents their world. One represents everything they are. The other is an undeniable miracle from God. What are they going to do? No doubting, it's a miracle. Do they get excited when they see the man in his right mind? Do they get excited
acknowledging the one who did it, bowing down in worship, did powerful signs and wonders cause them to bow the knee? No. Because the Bible says that they pleaded with Jesus to leave the region. That is such a sad statement. They've just seen a miracle. But that miracle is a powerful miracle, and they don't want that miracle worker amongst them. And you know, Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't stay where he's not wanted. And he and his disciples left. Only one person wanted to go with him from that land, and that was the one who'd had those evil spirits cast out. His life was now totally changed, totally turned around. I mean, he probably bore the scars of his previous life, but he was a radically different person. He begged Jesus to let him go with him, but Jesus wouldn't. He said, rather, you go and tell your family. You go and tell others how much the Lord has done for you. And that's just what he did. And you know, archaeology would suggest that that man became an evangelist. Because if you go to that area today, recent archaeological finds from that time, they don't find pagan temples, but they found many ancient churches. I mean, that supposition, we can't prove that, but it seems to have had a huge effect. And so Jesus left those shores and returned back across the lake to Capernaum. And there's no record in Scripture that he ever went back to that land. They missed the time of their visitation. And the disciples witnessed all of this. They were privileged bystanders. You know, they saw, they've been through the storm, they know Jesus, they've seen what Jesus has done, they've seen the miracles, they've seen the reaction of others. Now, they might not have liked everything that they had to experience to go through, but what an experience they had. What an experience. And but this is just a picture of really what Jesus has done for us. Do you know, Jesus came to a sin-sick world. He left the glories of heaven to come to this world to experience and endure a storm like no other storm ever in history. To come to a place where we were. You know, we were very much like that man. No hope, no future. Nothing in us that we no peace in life. But when Jesus came, and he came to where we were, our whole lives changed. Now, many of you have got testimonies to that effect. But that's what happens when Jesus comes. And he was prepared to leave heaven and come to us for that purpose. That's our God. That's the love that he has for us. But what's our response? What's our response when we see other people's lives changed? When we see miracles happening in other people, in our lives? You see, so many people are so hooked into this world and the things of this world that pigs become more important than Jesus himself. How many people do you know that it's the lure of the world? It's the deceitfulness of riches. It's those things that pull us away. And we fail to see the God that we serve. That's why Jesus came. Came to endure God's wrath. Many of you will know that we served out at I roll out in Israel for many years, up until COVID. Everything seemed to change with COVID, was we served at the Garden Tomb. which is a possible place of the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus. But I've stood at that place many, many times, that place where maybe Jesus died. It certainly fits the biblical account. Whether it is the right place or not is, you know, people will argue about. As far as we're all concerned out there, it's not the place that's important, it's the events that are important. And I pondered what Jesus did on that cross, what he went through on behalf of you and I. And I don't think we've got a clue. I don't think we can really understand what it was that he became sin for us. That God placed that on his own son. Everything that he abhorred, everything that kept us from him, he laid on Jesus, his son. You know, in prophecy, it talks about him being marred more than any other man, the man of sorrows, the one who was rejected. Do you know, when he was on that cross, he hung on that cross for 6 hours, and for three of them, God turned the lights out. Nobody saw what he went through. Nobody saw what he had to endure when he endured the wrath of God on behalf of you and I. That's what he did. Came from the glories of heaven to do that for you and I. What should be our response? Should it be like that man? Lord, I want to go with you. And Jesus said, no, you go and tell the people you know. Go, the one who became an evangelist. Or is it, I'd rather have the pigs? That's the choice that we all have to make. But I want you to see Father's heart here. You see, without Jesus coming, we had no hope. We had no peace. There was no future. But when Jesus came, all of that changed. And my Bible says that when he went to that cross, it says... It was for the joy that was set before him. He endured that cross, scorning that shame. For the joy. What was that joy? I believe that joy was being able to spend eternity with you and I. That's why he came. And my plea is, don't look to the pigs. Look to Jesus. Look to what he's done. Know that peace. Know that relationship. None of us miss the time of his visitation. I believe that the times that we're living in are urgent. We're seeing things happening in this world that... You know, I've looked at the Bible for years, and you see what the Bible says is going to happen. And we've been in the past, and think, well, this is where we are. This is where the Bible says is going to happen. How do we get from here to here? And I mean, lots of conjecture and lots of ideas, but we're seeing these things happening in front of our eyes. These things are real. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a people that will call him Lord, that will accept what he's done. Not a people who are looking to pigs. Amen. Time's gone. Let's just pray, shall we? Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your heart. And I want to thank you for the heart of Jesus. That, Lord, that Jesus came to this world, to this unclean place, this place that was so far from you, and you met us where we were. But Father, in that instant of time, when Jesus spoke, it all changed. Father, may we hear him speak to us. May we hear him say, come, follow me. May we hear him say, your sins are forgiven. Be my disciple. Father, we're asking that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.